I don't really have to know anything. And I don't really know much. But the Spirit of God knows it all. So I'm a lot better hands than if I tried to work my own works, I would be terrible.
Welcome to the living room. Thank you for joining us today, and God bless you. The message you're going to hear today is a fantastic treasure of gold. Just imagine if you were digging in your backyard and you found a vein of pure gold. Would you stop digging when you got the first ounce or the second ounce or the first pound or the second pound? No, you would be digging. You'd tear up your whole backyard to get the gold out, I imagine. Well, this message is about an hour long, but it is packed with deep truths about the Holy Ghost, the wonderful Holy Spirit. I don't know that you can find these truths out anywhere else. They're in the Word of God, of course. That's where they're buried so beautifully and marvelously. But Brother Freedom is used by the Holy Spirit to bring them out. So if you're really interested in the Holy Spirit, you'll listen to the full hour and be blessed. God bless you, and thank you for joining us.
There's a problem that the Lord has spoken to my heart, like if he was in the military. And, you know, the Lord's been speaking to me that basically in all walks of life, especially in the military, you have to get the chain of command coming down. That means from the top to the bottom has to end up the same for the private that starts out with the general and has to filter itself all the way down. And it can't be changed like, you know, you can tell something that gets changed before you get three or four people. But this has to be maintained in the right dialect. Everything the same has been spoken from the top orders. And the Christian walk, we have basically in our own, if we walk in the natural, a lot of Christians are in the natural, but they're basically, their information comes and what they grasp from the Word, what they learn from their peers, pastors and evangelists, all the people that work in that form of head knowledge, they get it down and it doesn't work. But God has also another work that's beyond that, and it's through the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is, the Bible says, is liberty. It also has power. In Galatians, I was reading it, and Galatians just full about the move of the Spirit. If you'll really pick it out. Paul told me, says, why are you so foolish? He told the Galatians, says, you started in the Spirit, but now you went back in the flesh. He says, what's wrong? And I see that's, and the Lord spoke to my heart, that's what's happened to a lot of his people. Many people get that, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, that special time, like in revival or something, you receive that special gift, but then from then on, they don't do anything with it. So pretty soon it lays there, and still, its intended use is to be a guideline, a reference point. You know, if any of you are surveying or do anything like that, you have to have a reference point to, as a benchmark, something that you go by, and that remains the same, that you can go back if anything happens and check your grades, you can check your elevation, check everything that you want to do, the slope, the angles, all these things from that benchmark or that location. So this has to be maintained to keep a correct, like land leveling, they use laser beams now. But laser beams have a benchmark, and that has a special spot that lines up with that laser beam, and they know that they're on mark. Something come in the night and change everything, their tower, and then the next day they'd be off. So they have to periodically check that, make sure that it's on, right on, and that's the way we are. There's a reference point that we need to, that God wants to put on our hearts, that we don't make mistakes. That we don't allow things to happen that cause us embarrassment. You know, in a field like that, it's really something that if you go back and you run your laser beam all day long, and if you find out at night it's not on grade, you got to go back and redo it. And 2 years ago, I had a chance to run 623 with a laser beam on it. And it's something because that laser beam, it's got a yellow light, green light, and a green light. And then beyond that, no lights, so you're off course, and you need to keep it right in the yellow. Not even that's where you want to keep it, right in the center. Because you get on the green, it means that you're waving off from the yellow, and that's the way we are. We need. I'm telling you this because we need an extra help. There's all kinds of voices in the world that we live in. A lot of people have different ideas about the Bible, and I'm not saying yay or nay on that's between every man and His heart is God. But I believe that God has an absolute truth above all the schisms, all the times we come and think we have something to put our two bits in when our two bits are not very really that classy or really up to date or what all the things that we don't really have the answers. But God has a program that he is very satisfied, and that program is that he has taken mankind and he has let us come into a world, and through that world he has allowed us to grow and give us that space of time from the time that we're grown or born to the time that we are grown up to the time that we leave this earth. And the end of that time, we need to be in touch with him. It's very plain. That's what it's all about. And in James it says that he longs for that time. You wonder how God, he longs to see us. The Bible says he literally longs to see us. He made this wonderful earth that he would have fellowship with us. And Adam and Eve sort of messed up, so he couldn't have fellowship with them. And they let sin come in. So then through the process of time, God had to make a Savior, which is Jesus. And through that, Jesus came and bled and died, all the what we all know. But it was for our betterment. And Jesus said, he said, it's needful I go away. I've got to go back and see my Father. And I'm going to prepare for you an everlasting home. In 14th chapter of St. John, it says, let not your heart be troubled. He's going to make us an heavenly home for all of us. And that's pretty good while, 2,000 years basically. He's been working on our home. And it must be something beyond imagination, because God is a special craftsman above all craftsmen. He made us in his image, in his likeness. So he created us like he is. He may give us feelings. When we get too hurt or close to hot, we have a tendency to want to get away from it. Or when we get cold, we shiver, we shake, all these things. And they're part of us, our characteristics that God gave us. And he realized that we needed to be in a climate somewhere probably between 30 and 80 degrees in that, or someplace in that area, that we would have a quiet life. When you get beyond that, there becomes some complication, because when you're 20 or 30 below zero and the chill factor's coming on, you don't feel as good. You don't feel, because you're cold. In the same way when you're hot. But God made this world that we might live in it to the maximum. And I believe he wants to enjoy it. He wants us to have a satisfying life. And he wants us to have that luxury that we know that we're going to live with him eternally after the dispensation when we're gone. I only got a few more years probably if the Lord tarries. But that time, we need that luxury of knowing where we're headed. We need that luxury. You know, we might, like we was talking about the other week, having a college degree and all these things. But we go beyond that. It goes beyond your home, all the things that you live for while you're here. And you find out about those gray years, your life, the latter end, that what you really need. And the only thing that really counts is your home in heaven.
Yes.
And how do we maintain that? And that's the problem that God's been speaking to my heart about, what's taking place. The Bible says we look not at the things that are seen. We look for the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The Bible says, for this cause we faint not. Though the outward man perish, inward man is renewed day by day. For the light affliction we have is only for a moment. The problem is only working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. That means when we have these problems, God's not going to punish you there forever. He's going to stop the attacker that's come against you. You may go through a little siege of it, but God's on your side. In Peter it says they'll only last for a moment. If you'll stay true to God, God doesn't want you to be punished. He wants you to realize that he is your Savior. He is your way. He is the truth and life. Jesus is the absolute one that keeps us. But the problem is, we're starting to get off that we have to know. That we have to know where something, we're curious. But God wants us literally that we trust. We fully trust. We don't have to know. It's not in my vocabulary. No, I don't need to know. So I don't even search for knowing. I just want to be pleasing with the Spirit. So then it takes a lot of pressure off your heart. It takes a lot of pressure off your troubled mind. You no longer this mind be in you, which is Christ Jesus, with the Spirit of God. He operates in you, for you, with you, and he's always right. You don't have to question. You don't have to doubt. You don't have to fear. You don't have to be dismayed. You can have that confidence in Him that's above any character in this world. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will guide you with His mighty guide light, like that laser light. It's always true. And if you're working around, you'll see that signal when it hits you in the eye. It likes to go to put your eye up. But anyway, it's a signal like God has a signal. And there's so many people today that think they're walking in the Spirit. And Galatians, it says, they that are led by the Spirit, they have walking above reproach. They that are led by the Spirit have walking in faith, joy, peace. Those are the what comes from those that say they have it. Now, if you say that you have it and these things are not present, then something you're telling maybe a little grave matter. Maybe it's not truly true. You know, you don't like people to know it, but really you need to take accountability. And God says, oh, my people, we need to come close to Him. He wants us, desires that we will seek Him and call upon His name. But when we have head knowledge, what happens is when God wants us, we even in our livelihood, we question, we try to do things in our own selves, and we counter against God. Everything He wants to do, we have a tendency to say, well, I'm going to go build you a church over here, Lord. And the Lord says, I didn't really want you to build it, but, you know, if you got your heads made up, just go ahead. And God lets us go ahead, not at times, but we're not according to His will, and we're not being led. We need to take that first step and say, I'm going to be led by the Spirit this day, from this day on. I'm going to walk and grow in that nature, in that avenue, that place that brings pleasure in our hearts, because God is well pleased with us. It's a life that we have to start growing in and wanting it. And we don't debate about it. We don't go and show off about it. And this is what's so wonderful about it, that God will not let you do that or you're going to lose it. He deliberately makes you humble yourself. And if someone jumps onto you, you just sort of take it. But God fights your fight. God will deal with that. And His wrath is better than our wrath. He can do greater than we can. So if we start letting Him handle Him doing all the heavy work, and all we do is sit back and we just sort of ride with Him. We just literally get in the back seat and ride with Him, and He moves upon us. He says, my child, what do you wish for me to do? Like Brother Clinton and I, there was a lady that called us last week, wasn't it? But this is what we can start doing. And I give it to God. But if I'm not where I should be, it won't work. And that's the problem, is when it's not right, it don't work. I mean, and then I'm sad. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I need to do touch. But when it does work, this woman was going to be facing an operation in 2 days, wasn't she, Brother Clint?
Yes.
God met her need. So God has a way of rescuing us if we will stay in His alignment. But when we start having our own plans, He looks back in amazement and says, hey, you know, the Bible says that Abraham, because of faith, he was justified as righteousness, imputed as righteousness. And when we're right with God, our righteousness, He sees it as righteous. We don't even have to go through the problems, because God moves you out of that way where you might have to be tested a while. Your faith brings you into a place that God overlooks a lot of our mistakes in growing toward Him. He wants us to come out of those, but He gives us time. And He does it in a way that He's not taking you to the woodshed so much. He's not there. The Bible says, for whom He chastises, He loveth. But if we have great faith in God, He can move in our way that we are going to the area of hearing, not from ourselves. That's where it's at. It's ourselves. So we go to some place, we go to great seminars where we can learn. And you're going to really start missing in the Spirit, I guarantee you. It's all right, because if you want to have a natural church, just have it. That's why I don't read nothing but the Word. Brother Clint will tell you, I don't like to even hear anybody's testimonies. I want to make sure it's from God. Now, I'm not trying to do this ugly, and I know there's beginners that you need this. But when you start growing and maturing, then you need to realize singular to God. He's the lover. He's your Savior. And he needs that alignment, and we need that alignment that joins hands with God. And I believe that he will grasp our hands and lead us to the still waters, and he will strengthen us. He will be with us through the times of discouragement. It's a good life. It's not something harmful. It's a blessed life because you're walking through his favor and you're not doing it out of your mind. Your own mind is very deceivious. It'll deceive you. It'll take you down to a place of great regrets. It'll punish you. It'll take you to a place to bring you down to the depths, and you'll start missing out. That's what's happening. People, you will miss out with God. God has something beyond what we can control in our own abilities. Our abilities are limited. When we was a child, yes, when we need help then because we don't know and we need that growing. But there comes a time when God says, hey, I'm going to take care of you. I want you to start growing, grow toward the source. Grow toward the source is growing toward God. Not brother whoever, but growing toward him. And he will make himself real if you will stay faithful. But you learn this as growing as on the Lord. But when we start second guessing God and doing things that God doesn't want us to do, then we block God. We literally block him. Maybe he wants us to go to Reading. And so we say, the enemy will always come in and I think you're supposed to go to Chico down here. And the Lord's saying, you go to Reading. And that's what happened. We said, well, I heard this fellow. I figured it was the Lord. No, we heard wrong. God moves mighty by his Spirit. And we should never question him. We would live close enough to him that we deny everything that's coupled to us that takes us away from the Lord. We unconnect from it. We desire only that close path. But I see people say, I can't receive it because I'm not. But you don't have to. The Lord told me the other day, and I know it's true, that you can skim read through the Spirit, and you can read a lot more than you can when you're reading for yourself. Now, I tell people, but we've been taught this, which is good up to a certain point. If God has you do it, he'll let you do it. But it should be all things under his design. Yes, you can do it. But you're not doing it as edifying yourself. You're doing it to be used in this realm in here like a computer that's storing in here. That it can be unlocked when someone programs it at that time by the Spirit. Amen. It should be very easy for us because we're just like the recipients of a computer. What we put garbage in, garbage out. If we take God in, God will come out. Amen. It's the same thing. And this computer doesn't have anything to give out. It only has to give out what's been stored in it. And that storage comes as we surrender to him that loves us. And he has a plan that'll work. He has a avenue that we can feel at ease. You ever feel at ease? It just makes you feel good. You just sit back and say, well, I'm happy. It's a good day. If I knew how to fish, I'd go fishing. But, I found out God did better than fishing. And I've never had the company of anyone like my Lord. But you got to learn to, people like 2 years ago, a person comes to me and says, don't you want to get this book of Jabez? And I says, I can't. And the person says, why not? I said, because I made an oath to the Lord. Well, that's not right. And I said, well, you can think it's not right, but that's the way I am. I'm not going to change. So, I've got the last word. I'm not going to change. I don't really have to know anything. And I don't really know much. But the Spirit of God knows it all. So I'm a lot better hands than if I tried to work my own works, I would be terrible. But once his love comes down and speaks through you. I've been having troubles with allergies and things like that. But the Lord spoke to my heart, says, I could heal you, but I want people to see that you have to go through struggles too. They would not probably receive you if you was way up there. So he said, I'll be with you. And those times comes in and like now he cleared it. But It's a time that I realize that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. My body is, some of you, I get very sensitive to pollen. But that's what God made me. So while I'm here, you know, I'm going to try to do the very best I can. Sometimes discomfort, it's very uncomfortable. Sometimes I'm ashamed to be around people because my nose is running. My eyes are running. But my God, I love you. We just give him what we have. He doesn't ask for a lot more. And he'll keep us and he'll give us so much love that you don't worry about the other part. Oh, hallelujah. And he grants you glories and glories and in his presence is fullness of joy. In his right hand, pleasures evermore. And I've received them pleasures. I've received the glory. You know, and I've seen God literally for about 10 years that I would almost see things happen at the time. And people would not even understand. I couldn't even share it with nobody because skeptics couldn't understand it. But God was so mighty. Let me see something before it ever happened. I was over there ripping this field there. The Spirit of God, and I wasn't even thinking too much about the Lord. They got this, it was another machine bigger. It was a 375, and I was running a 155, which is about 100 horsepower bigger. And the Lord says, you know, that machine will burn up before it finishes. And I didn't even think any more about it. He started the last pass or so, literally burned itself up. You know, I didn't go out and toot the horn, but I just, that God gives you these little truths. And you just realize that he cares for us. And we're all individual. He loves you like you are. That's why it bothers me when people say, I got to do this. Well, you don't know. If God's having you do it, then it's fine. But without it, you may not get the best blessing. I want people to have the best blessing. And I know if you go God's way, he has something beyond any imagination. The Bible says, but I've written, I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither has entered the heart of man, the things that are prepared for them who love God. But God hath revealed them by his Spirit. Yea, the Spirit searches, yea, the deep things of God. I would rather wait upon God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up wings of eagles. Isn't that wonderful? They shall walk and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God has a overcoming power for us this last hour. You know, and without his overcoming power, we can't withstand the problem we're facing. But with his presence, we're more than conquerors. That's what through him which loved us. He always makes us more than conquerors. It's like going back to that field I worked on, the machine I run. And then this machine that burned up, we couldn't get down to 5 foot. But they brought that D10 in a couple weeks ago, and they got one shank down to 5 feet. And that's what we're powerless. But God always keeps us. If we need more power, he makes us available for just enough power that we can do it. When we don't get big-headed. When we don't think that we know it all. What up here in our mind, we get in way of God. And that's why we don't get our prayers answered, because we're doing it out of our mind. We want people to see us. The Bible says when you go pray that no one sees you, and he says he'll reward us openly. And that's why we get puffed up. We get headstrong. We get think God cannot make it without us. Well, this is wrong. He can do without us anytime he wants. He is perfect. But he allows us, if we will, that he will use us that we might receive a blessing from him. That he might say one day to the enemy, this is my child that has lived faithful. And now, enemy, you have nothing that you can grip to give him. He is under my safety. He's under my protection. He's under my guidelines. As long as I live in God's confines, he cannot harm me. If I get out of myself, then he's the place that he can reach and get me. And I don't want him to get me. I want safety in him. So I'm a very selfish person, I guess, because I want God. I don't want to take chances on that old burger bear. I don't want to take chances doing it in my own self, in my own will. I don't want to take chances because I'd rather say, I don't know. And I don't care what people say about me because I can take that. But it's hard for me to take when God says, oh, my child, I wish you wouldn't have done that. I can take it when people say, the whole world tell me, you're hopeless. I said, thank you. Thank you. But God, when he says that, hurts me. So we need to grow into this area that God can comfort us. It says he is the God of all comfort, that comforts us in all of our tribulations, that we might be able to comfort those that are in any trouble, wherewith by the same comfort that God comforts us, that we will be able to comfort them. God wants us to put, we're like a pilot system, that we just do a little work of valve, basically, like they do. But it's like a light with God. He does it. And he could be here in California and in Houston, Texas, or Illinois. God's there because if you're responsible, because you're doing it by faith. Faith is a light of God within you, that light travels to the glory of God, that when you speak, thus saith the Spirit of God, God removes mightily, instantly at that time, and things happen. It's beyond the description of man. It's the most satisfying, the most wonderful blessing that mankind or anybody, women or men, boys or girls, can have, having that satisfaction, that satisfying. Oh, hallelujah. That's why I don't like to go some places, because I don't want to go anywhere that God would not let me go. And some places he lets me go that I really don't want to go. I've come to places I want to stay close to him. I want to stay under his shadow. I want to stay in his alignment. Because it says, my sheep know my voice. They come at my call. It's right in the Bible. The 23rd Psalms is predicts us. It's a revelation. What should we take? The Lord is my shepherd. It's a prophecy. Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's speaking down that right now. We don't have to walk. He leads me beside the still waters. When it's still, it's flat. When there's falling, water moves. But flat, it stays still. That lets me know it's flat. It's a place that we don't have to worry about falling off over the edge. It's a place that the grass is green because the water flows out real slowly. And the earth takes it in. And it becomes a luscious green substance, a supplier that we need, that vitality from that green pasture. He restores my soul. In this day that we live in, we need that restoring. We need that edification of the Spirit of God, that we have electricity from heaven, that we're glad that I have in the house of the Lord. I'm glad that I know Jesus. I'm glad for my experience with God, that I can thrive, that I can live, I can motivate, because he's real. He's more real than anything I can say. But God wants to motivate us to lead the path of righteousness for his name's sake. We should so love his name, Jesus. In that name that Jesus came to this world, this is his time of celebrating Jesus. God loved his son. I thought about it today, that how all those past sins up the time that Jesus, they was in Sheol, or all the people that died. But at that time when Jesus came upon that cross and he went down in the grave, death and hell, he delivered them. All those past sins that they had to use a lamb, had to use that sacrifice, that God brought them back, brought them as spotless. They got to receive Jesus as we receive Jesus. They got that invitation that Jesus, in that name, there is no other name in heaven where you can be saved. And through that, we should be ecstatically glad, happy. We should be on fire for the Lord, that we're going to receive a everlasting home. We're going not to Doomsville, we're going to home. Eternity is beyond any imagination. It's a place that there is no more doctors, no more dentists, no more firemen, no more clergy, no more lawyers, no more troublemakers. The Bible says in Revelation, anything that does, it will not be there. No wrongdoers. Hallelujah. No self-appointed people. They're God's appointed people. We need that love in here that enlightens us to a way that I'm working not for money. I'm working for my boss. I humbly say it because he is my privilege that he would allow me to come under his tutorship. What a privilege. Why should he call a little nobody? But he did. And here tonight he'll call you. He will bless you. He'll let the love of God come upon you as it'll just saturate you. As that Aaron, as that oil came on his beard. That same oil tonight, God is here to bring his love, to bring his anointing, to bring his shelter, bring his special touch that you can't have only through his bonds, through his direction. And God is a good God. He's here to help us. He's not here as a mean father, but he's here as a loving father that loves us so much he would not willing that any should perish. He's here that we would have that luxury of his blessing. Having that peace that satisfies. Having that joy that lives within you forever. That you live now and you say, I'm going to go home to see my Heavenly Father. I'm getting tired of this old world. I'm going to go where the sunrise is going to be no endings. And the dawning shall not be. We're going to a place beyond the imagination. We're going to the place of the King of Kings where God lives, to his home. And he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come in, for I love thee, and I will grant thee my blessing, and I shall give thee a mighty hope, and I shall give thee a mighty strength, and I, the Lord thy God, shall move upon thee in a mighty way, for I'm here to justify my people. I'm here to glorify them, that they in these last days when the enemy comes in like a flood, yea, the Lord thy God shall raise up a mighty standard against that ones, and I shall give them strength that they might be overcomers. And they would walk no longer as those that walk of this world, but they would walk in my presence. And I shall deliver them, and I shall make love to them even now. And they will feel my joy. They will feel my heat and my healing salve. I shall heal them once in a mighty way. And I am here to conduct my blessings upon my ones in a mighty way. That they will no longer receive the insults from the wicked. They will walk justified by me, the Lord their God. And I shall give them strength. I shall give them peace. They shall walk in my love. And I will not leave my people. And I shall bring my healing virtues upon my beloved. And I shall provide for them. And I shall keep them in a mighty way. And for that day cometh, I shall let thee know ahead of time that my coming is very soon, which it is very soon. But I shall prod thee with my spirit. If thou shalt stay in my covering, I move, thou will move. If I sit, thou will sit. If I be closed, thou will be closed. If thou shalt walk, I shall walk. Walk in my presence, that thou will no longer fulfill the lust of the flesh. For I say the spirit is willing, but the flesh will bring you down. Come, my people, come to me, and thou shalt live. Come, for I have a great table spread for thee this day, that thou might live the remainder of the life in my presence. At the end of that time, thou shalt go away home to the Lord thy God, for I shall have a great things to offer thee that thou cannot even understand if I would say, show you this night. For I'm here with a mighty blessing. And the enemy knows that he is going to miss out. And he wants to get to all elements of this world. He wants to deceive many. And he has deceived many of my people, mine, that are called by my name. But I say, I'm looking for some that will work even. They will not be deceived. They will walk in my spirit. And they will walk victorious. And they shall walk doing great and mighty exploits. In this last hour, my word declares in Daniel that they will do great and mighty exploits in that day. And I, the Lord thy God, have chosen that my people would have great and mighty exploits if they would walk no longer in their own mind and their own admonition, but they would walk by the leadership of my spirit within them, that they might be glorified with my presence upon them, that they might live abundant life even to that day when I shall take them home, saith the Spirit of God. God is here to bless you. God is here to help you. We need to realize that we don't have to know. And that's why people cannot receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, is because they got to know. And what God's trying to do is take away the hang-ups when we know all those hidden things that they crop up in us, when we're walking in the mind, working in the mind, all these hang-ups, their memories, when God says, he'll look back from the plow, you've got a new way if you're in the Spirit. You don't even worry about those things because they're in history. But when we as ourselves, we want to walk in the mindset, all every day you get up, you have a headache, everything that you're doing goes backwards because you're planning it and God's not planning it. You need to walk by the Spirit and you will receive comfort, you'll receive strength, and you will receive a blessing from on high. And when you try to do it within yourself, it's complicated. Bible says that the flesh cannot walk, they're contrary. And if you're walking the mind, you're going to be contrary to the way of God. It does not mean that you're not going to have a mind. You will have a mind. But your leadership qualities are from God himself. Sure, he lets you, your mind is part of you. But his mind, let this mind be, it's more like this, let this mind of Christ be in you. His Spirit is upon you. The Spirit of God is there. He is the dominant source. If you get out of kilter, you'll tell yourself, you cannot do that, old person, because I live here, and I don't want it in my being. So you forsake unrighteousness. You forsake not having faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And what we do, remember, most people walk, Christians, they walk by sight. I'll guarantee you, I know they've got it all figured out up here. And if we got it figured out up here, I told a pastor a couple weeks ago that if you get so figured out, I don't know, they're probably still chewing on it. But I don't care. I've come to the place when God says, I really don't, I'm concerned for them. And I say I'm sorry many times, but why I'm saying sorry, I'm sorry that that person can't receive. I'm not sorry of hurting their feelings, but I'm sorry deeper than that. I'm sorry that they cannot receive this wonderful love that's there. I'm sorry for them. They think I'm sorry because I'm speaking. No, I'm sorry because it's their attitude that needs to be changed. I'm sorry because they need to have that change of heart. They need that new correction that only God can. He's in the correction changing. He changes us. He visits our heart in a very glorious way that we can have manifold blessings. That we have a Savior that lives. He died for us. The Bible says there is no temptation that takes us which is not common to man. For God is faithful. For he not suffer us to be tempted beyond what you're able. And with that temptation, make a way of escape that we might be able to bear it. Every sin that we have come through, Jesus is also. Every sin. There's nothing hid from God. Jesus has seen all those things that become our little hang-ups down in our hearts. Jesus has been through it. He says, I'll never leave you. I sympathize. He says, I sympathize with you. I understand because I took them to the cross. And that cross, Jesus bled there. He died there that we might live. But our Savior didn't stay dead. He arose, went down the parts of the earth and set captive free. And then he rose and come back and set up the church, the Holy Ghost. He says, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost and ye shall be witnesses. You know, and the devil has tried to release God's influence on his people. And that's what the devil don't like. He doesn't like it when you get full. He doesn't like it when you have a love that he can't break it. And it puts him at ease. He's looking for people that he can just shake them. And he will destroy them. But God has a people, a remnant, that's going to live upright before him, that they don't question God, that they're walking in his deity. They're walking according to his anointing. They're walking because he is God, because they love him so much. They love their father. They love that family of God. They love God's people. And we need that driven desire that, oh, hallelujah, that I'm not going to be shaken what man is going to say, what they're going to do. I'm going to move only as the Spirit. You don't get in trouble. I worked about 5 years as a mechanic that way. And all that time, or more than that, but I never got in trouble once. God can work with you. You know, it's so much easier. I was a resident mechanic right here. And, you know, I've been like a lot of mechanics. I said, Lord, I'm not going to do it because I got to know. The Lord says, no, you don't know nothing. And, you know, all that time when he was doing that, there was nobody waiting on me. And always before, there were people be waiting on me at a time. Or I wouldn't have nothing to do. When God was doing it, it was all just sort of like an even flow all the time. He just did it. He says, go down to take a drive down when you're down. Look at the Williams Ranch. And that's when I go down and he says, oh, now while you're down here, go over and do this. All the Spirit of God knows these elements. And people look at me like I'm way out here in some place, but that's what God wishes for us. You don't have to probably have to go to the depth that I have because I don't know how much time you got. But there is a time that you can be satisfied what He gives you. You'll be satisfied to have that peace. That you won't question Him. Whatever He gives you is in line with Him. He satisfies you. He gives that strength. You know, strength is like a piece of equipment that can pull till that pulls offset the power of that weight that's applied to it. And that's the way we can overcome the problems, the indebtedness that comes against us, the overwhelming odds. But God is greater. God brings fulfillment. You know, if Samson would have moved to the Spirit, he would have a heyday. Glory to God, he had been so happy. Hallelujah, glory to God, he would be satisfied. Oh, hallelujah, he'd tell them, you guys, you know, you realize you need to have God. You know, he wouldn't have been spending that time down there in a honky-tonk, basically, like he was in. He wouldn't have spent time down there in molly grubs like he was in. He would have been, hey, I got the answer. My God's real. He is faithful. He will deliver you. And those Philistines were shaking in their boots because, you know, all the other men of God had the same things happen to them. Gideon. How Gideon. Oh, hallelujah. 30-some thousand men he had. God says, oh, man, you got it. That's too many, Gideon. You know, you don't need that many. Oh, he says, why not? So they're, oh, no, he says, get it down. So gets it down to 10,000 and down to 300, basically. And those 300 went out there and just tore that whole army apart. I mean, they was killing one another, doing things that was, I mean, they was tearing themselves up. And everybody else, the God's people, just looking back and seeing the battle of the Lord. They were seeing God move. That was God's, God was moved. All He wants is a remnant, and those remnants will be strong because they're not doing anything. They've got their mind, they've really got it easy. They got it easy because they're walking in the Spirit. But if they would have started coming against God and said, no, we can't do this, there'd been a collision. And if you could see in the heavenlies, that's what we do. And things, we bring collisions. God, we work with Him, not against Him. We walk in His presence. But the less we know, the more you got. I guarantee you. And the more you got. And God is master builder. And this is something people don't understand. But the more it's in the Word, the more you give Him, the more you got. When you become a nothing, God uses you. He multiplies what you give to Him. So if you give Him your all, He just multiplies the whole thing. If you give Him 45%, you get 45%. So when you're controlling part of it, you've got your fingers on it. Oh, I'm not going to do that. Lord, you know, I'm not going to do this. Lord says, why not? Why not go all the way? It's easier if you go all the way. All the way my Savior leads me. He wants us to be thankful. He wants us to be gracious. He wants us to show mercy. He wants us to be having humility. That we are not puffed up. That we don't gloat because someone's in trouble. We're there with believing for them. Loving them. Praying with them. Praying for them. Maybe they won't even talk to you, but you're praying about them. Through them by the Spirit of God. That God leads you in a way that's beyond any of your understanding. I tell Brother Clinton back a few years back, it was not uncommon to God say, because He's doing it a different way now. He does things different. There's no ending. He does things for a while, and then you'll see things. And, you know, I said some things. And I told Brother Clint I had to. The Lord says, hey, it was still in my design. Sometimes we get hard on ourselves because we're not following something, and that's the mind. I should have backed off. That's God. That wasn't even me to talk about. We need to realize that our steps are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in our way. Though we should fall, He will uphold our hand. For I've not seen the righteous forsaken, neither the seed baking bread. Our steps are ordered by the Lord, and we need to recognize that every step that we say, every step that we move is ordered by Him, and we can have that confidence. He wants us to have that confidence. He wants us to have that trust that He is the truth. He will not let you go. And what He speaks to your heart, He will complete it. But you don't go out as a child. You grow in these things. But you have to sometimes make some kind of, you can't go hand in hand with another and get the results you have when you singular come into God's, what He has for you. And that's probably the only reason that I've went as good as I've done is because I had no other choice. I had to go God's way. Because people made it too hard for me. And I think they'll make it pretty hard because the flesh and the spirit don't work together. And I believe there's people that's going to be saved walking in the flesh. I really do. That's what you got to say. That a lot of people, that's what it is. You know, they just do walk, read the word, but there is a difference for those who receive it with gladness. For those who receive it and don't apply it, it'd be better if they never had accepted it. It's God wants us to walk, and when we don't want us to turn around, when we start, He wants you to complete it. He don't want you to quit. He loves us. He's here to enable us. But our minds are something that we have used from our childhoods, and we put much emphasis on competition, on being the best. But God will have to sometimes rearrange us in those areas. They're not very graceful. Sometimes they're not me thinking I'm the best. That's not a very good light that you would shine for the Lord. And so we have to dissolve and resolve some of the things, the hidden things that we had one time in our life, took them as a treasure. Oh, I'm just a little bit head and shoulders better than anybody else. But that's not in the Lord's heart. I'm pretty sure that for all of us, He would not think that's a very good quality, because His laws are not the same laws that we had when I was a child. We grow when we accept Jesus. There's a growth that takes place. And for time, we can do it. God gives us room, and we're saved. But there's a time of not coming to place that we're losing our love. And this is why the church of Ephesus was losing their love, because it started to become a mind. It was moving in their self. And if you start doing these things within yourself, even have the Holy Spirit, you'll start emphasizing, and God will say, okay, try it, oh buddy. Try it, gal. And you make a mess of it. God wants to deliberately say, Lord, I need you. You are my Alpha Omega, my beginning and my end. I desire nothing but you. And He will send you the right church, and He will send you where He wants you. You will shine as a star from heaven, because He's there. And I'm not churches are the answer. People need to be saved. And they need churches to get them saved. But after they're saved, they need a time when they can come in to the fullness too. And it's a place that we need to have some togetherness coming together. But there is a move of the Spirit that God sent the early church. And it'll work today. It'll work if you'll stand and walk by the Spirit of God, walking in His holiness. And God will not have you go out here and to be as a someone sits in the corner, waves a great big flag. That's foolishness. God moves to your quality. Instead of waving a flag, that where you go, people can sense that the Spirit of God is upon you. They can sense that you've been close to Jesus. They can sense that you know where you're headed. And it's only in Him. He's the reason. He's the way, the truth, and life. And the Bible says no one comes unto the Father but by Jesus. And truly, that is our greatest declaration, is when we confess Jesus as our personal Savior. That special day that we accepted Jesus, He became the center of our life. He became the one that washed us, set us free, that we could be on our way to heaven. But then God says, I'll be with you also through the time from now on, that you can grow to a place that you will not have so many pitfalls. You'll not have so many troubles. That you'll not be angry so many times. You'll not have the lust of the flesh that men are have problems. I guess women do too. But those pitfalls are hard to handle without the saving power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. We need that quality that sets our feet a little higher, that our eyes will be looking. The Bible says in the 121st Psalm, it says, I lift my eyes to the hills, whence cometh my help. For my help comes from the Lord. And truly, that's another revelation. Our light is for now. We need to get our eyes upon Jesus. We need to look to the author and the finisher, the keeper of our faith. We need to keep our eyes no longer looking at things that are seen. We need our eyes that are elevated to heavenly places. Our mindset is on the things from heaven. We're no longer as a citizens of this world. We have a citizenship of a new world, a new heaven, where dwells Christ and His righteousness. He has appointed us not to come into wrath, but to walk in His liberty, walk in His love, that we might have the fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. What a wonderful walk and talk that we can be led by His Spirit, by the power from heaven. God is here to bless you, to strengthen you, to strengthen us in a mighty way, that we might receive an invitation. When you start a child, you have to start someplace. And everything is correct for a certain way. But there should be a time for time that people grow. I praise God for that. Because the Bible says we cannot be saved unless the Spirit draws us. So I'm thankful these churches. I'm thankful that salvation has been made so real. But all what I believe we need to have a little more from thereafter. That we will not lose ground, but we will grow in the Lord. It's mentioned in the Word. It's just a little added that God wants to bring us into. No one has to be over concerned because the place that you feel that you can't do it. God will you can grow in toward the Lord. It's something that God understands. But I really know that I've lived through it for quite a few years, and I know that God's proved it to me that His way is above everybody else's. And there's some times that I literally had to bless their hearts, pastors. I had to say no. That's what, you know, I had it. And maybe that's why I made it as well as I did, because there was times that, and then other times, we're supposed to guard these. So, I mean, I'm not against people holding people, but this controlling cannot be by the controlling of minds. It has to be by the Spirit. And that's the way you grow in the Lord. Even from a child, you learn to accept Jesus. You learn He's your strength. And your teachers, Sunday school teachers, that should put that in the hearts of the little ones. You need Jesus. He's your helper. You need His inspiration. You need His strength because He's the one who will keep you. He's the one that, when you get old, you'll have a friend who will be with you through all your life. He leads me the path of righteousness. For yea, though I walk through the valley, a shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. You know, that right there is a great help. That at the end of life, we will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. You know, I've seen a lot of people that I've prayed with, and a lot of people I've prayed for have been very fearful. But God wants, the Bible says He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love and a sound mind. I have a brother-in-law in Texas that I feel for these churches, and I'm the same way, that they sort of sideline the elderly. And he didn't need to be sidelined. He needed to have been just exhorted, say, come on, let's get with it with the Lord. Well, he's in a rest home. Don't know how the world he's in. And I've seen this time after time. Brother Clinton and I talked to Rich. He made a survey. He came up the same, what we're talking about. These RVs and all these good things that happened to seniors. But pretty soon they get so influenced about what they're doing, they lose that one guiding light. It's a trick of Satan. I would rather have nothing. I'd rather have to work, but I take it as a blessing. I thank God for a blessing that we would still keep our eyes upon the Lord. And that's the main reason. It's not to get to a place that I can live luxuriously, but that I might live in His presence till He comes. A father-in-law. And they're good people, but they spend their time driving all they, and they forget about God. But I don't want to forget about God because people are going to devil's hell. And that devil's hell is a terrible place. It's beyond the terrible. When I was 30 years ago, God gave me a vision. And I was in this great arena. And there was Christians all over that arena. And what they was looking at, they was just, I seen their faces. I knew some of them, literally I seen it. And they was just, people were jumping up and down, thrilled, excited. These were Christians. And pretty soon the Lord let me see these people was doing us, they were, had devils in these people. And pretty soon that floor opened up and that whole arena went to hell. God showed me a lot of things. I'm scared of no one, but it's serious business. You know, with our lives here, I've been in jails and places like that, and I've seen a lot of people come to the Lord in jail. But what I try to tell them, it's more real, hell's more real than what you have here in this jail. And you have while you can live, you can accept Jesus. And that is a very special gift. And we need to maintain, act, receive it. I think that what we've grown into, we receive Jesus, and then everybody, it's all good. And pretty soon, people have lost their first love. And the Bible said if we lose the first love, we're not going to make it. So that's pretty serious. And he says he'd rather be cold as lukewarm. He spews out. And I'll tell you myself, I've seen times when I know that I'm lukewarm, and I have to get down and pray through Sister Jen. I have to pray and pray and pray. Lord, I don't want to be lukewarm no longer. I want to be in fire. I want the affection and glory of God to be upon me the way that I see the unction of the Spirit of God upon me that keeps me in that place, that right level. I believe that we've been misguided to the place that they have allowed Christians to believe that all is okay. And I'll tell you, it's not going to be okay if you miss heaven. It's not going to be okay if the God comes through the clouds of glory and you're still here. It's not going to be okay because I don't know whether you can make it. We've been living in a too soft land. We've had conveniences of grocery stores. We have convenience of cars and refrigerators, heaters and air conditioners, having all the good things, clothes that are made and all these things. And what if that rug would be pulled out to where we had to live with an angry being that would be upon us? And we'd have to hide, maybe be. We needed to really wake up. I'm not here to scold, but God is real. No one likes to hear this, but your soul is worth it all. And preachers have gotten where they won't preach this. But that's why souls are going to, they're going to be held responsible. If God would take me home tonight, I want you to make sure that you really know that God is real. He loves you. And I know that's between you and Him. But I just believe that we need to all have that. We're responsible. I'm not responsible for Brother Clint, even though I would like to be. I'm not responsible for him. I'm not responsible for Sister Jan. I have an element that I do, but that's the end that I can do. Every one of us is responsible for our own being. It's also in Galatians. It says that have to maintain our own walk. That book of Galatians is quite a little book. But God is real. And you know, I know we're not supposed to be forced into praying, but it is something to have God when you come through the critical times. When I seen that girl hit that tree and that pickup just exploded with her, the Lord told me if I would pray, she'd be saved. And she was saved. So God puts the responsibility upon us that maybe we don't want to do it, but God says, I want you to do it. So you if you don't give in, God's going to do something wonderful.
Amen.
Because He doesn't put more upon us than we're able to bear. And that's the great, that's the bottom line. We've actually dismissed the Holy Ghost. A few years back, people, they included the Holy Ghost, but now, and when they use Him, they make it as part of their great gifts. They don't really give Him the recognition that He needs. And God's aware of it. And God's seeing big churches doing the same thing. He's merciful is what He is. But one of these days, it's going to quit, and then people are going to be in big trouble. God's very merciful. But people have dissolved that power, the unction. That's why I'm sure that's why God moved upon me, because I was desirous of the power of the Holy Ghost. And I started seeing that God could know all about things that I didn't think He was interested in. I didn't think He was interested on a caterpillar. I didn't think He was interested on something like that. And I was amazed what He knew something about. I really was. I learned, He says, I know all about it. That B70 of John Wheeler's over there, I couldn't find that nut. He says, if you look down through the frame on the left-hand side, right there where the ring gear is, you'll find it. And there it was. I couldn't find it until He told me. Like I did doing a winch. And that winch would not work, and they had better mechanics than I worked on it. It just wouldn't work. Success, it worked halfway, but not really good. And the pressures would not, ever wouldn't come up to where they should. John Wheeler got a hold of me and Bill O'Donnell, and they said, we're going to give you the task of fixing that winch. And I said, oh my goodness. So I pulled it off and went through it, and I couldn't really find anything wrong. It tore it all apart. And I come back and had on the pressure control group one little valve there. Spirit of God just spoke, says, you turn that valve, it'll work. And I said, it looks the same. He says, I know it, but it'll work. It worked. There must have been some drilling that I didn't see, because I just turned over and it worked perfect from that point. Because I really couldn't tell people that I did anything, because I didn't do anything. The Lord was the one that did it. But the Lord told me to be cautious how I said that, because many people would, so I had to do it in a very special way. I had to learn to be able to control. And I think that's what I'd like to put. We need to control ourselves, whatever place we're at, to be able to talk as God would have us talk at that initial time. And you can have that, and that's very comforting, because you go through people that's dying, and you need someone to help you.